Now our text for today, you will find in the middle of verse number 19 of Ruth and the chapter number 2. It's really a question. It was the question of Naomi to her daughter-in-law Ruth. And the question is simply this: where hast thou gleaned today? Where hast thou gleaned today? Now whenever a business comes to the end of a year, that business will generally take stock of its sales, maybe its products, its assets. And again, it will also make plans for the future and for what lies ahead. Well, in the Christian life, it is good for the believer also to take stock of their life. To have, if you like, a reality check of where they are with the Lord in their Christian life. And brethren and sisters in Christ, this is something that I want each one of us to do this morning, especially as we would come near the end of 2016. And in doing so, I want you to consider Naomi's question here to Ruth in her text this morning, where she says, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" And in this question here, it follows Ruth's initial encounter with Boaz, when she gleaned sheaves of corn in his field. And by this question, this most thought-provoking question, Ruth was made to consider her actions that day. She was made to consider her words that day. She was made to consider her thoughts that day, her mindset that day. She was made to consider the paths of her feet that day, where she had been, what company she had been amongst, and what she had been doing. And you know, whenever you look at our Bible reading this morning, you will see that there are four answers that Ruth could give to this question in particular. And it is this question, and it is these answers of Ruth that I want us to look at and to focus our minds upon today. For this question and the answers that Ruth could give to this question, I believe they are some things that would challenge each one of us who are saved today about our testimony with God, about our testimony as Christians before the world, and about how we are living the Christian life, and if we are seeking day by day as God's people to live for our Savior, to live for His honor, and to live for His glory. That being so, I want you to consider then this question with me today. Where hast thou gleaned today? Now in answering this question, where hast thou gleaned today? Ruth could answer that she was in the place of God's appointment. You look there at the end of verse number 19. And look at what Ruth says in response to this question. She says, "The man with whom I wrought today is Boaz." She tells us there that she was in the field of Boaz. And this chapter too would tell us and show us that it was God in His providence, God in His guidance, who had directed Ruth to this particular field of Boaz. She was in the place of God's appointment. You go back to verse 3 of the chapter, the beginning of the chapter, you will see this very clearly. For it says of Ruth, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers." And look at these lovely words. It says, "And her hap," just happened in the providence of God. "And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." God in His providential grace and mercy, He directed this widow woman, Ruth, to go and to labor and to gather sheaves of corn in the field of Boaz. And she was in that field of Boaz, but by God's appointment, by God's sovereign decree, but by God's providence. And by this very fact that Ruth here was in the center of God's will is further verified by the very words of Boaz to Ruth herself. For look at what Boaz says to her in verse 8 of the chapter. He says, "Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my means." He says, "Go not to glean in it." And it reinforces the truth. It reinforces the fact that Ruth was in God's will. She was in God's appointed place for her life at that particular time. Dear child of God, in our meeting this morning, whenever you think here of this question in our text, where hast thou gleaned today? Can you also say with Ruth, I am in the place of God's appointment today? Can you say of your life, not only today, but in this year that is almost gone, that I've been seeking to live in the will of God and for the will of God for my life and all that concerns me? Has that been your goal throughout 2016? Can you say, yes, I have been and I have sought to live this year in the place of God's appointment? You know, speaking of his own life, indeed his life with all its trials and with all its heartaches and all its burdens, Job, the patriarch of old, he could speak of the Lord and he could say, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, even in the storms of life, in the trials of life. Job knew himself to be in the will of God. He knew himself to be in the place of God's appointment. Dear child of God, in the meeting this morning, let me say this, that you and I, yes, we can know God's will for our lives by allowing the Word of God, by allowing the Bible, the Scriptures of truth, to be our guide, to be our rule, to be our director in life. That's how it was with the psalmist. For speaking of God's Word, he could say, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God was directing him, leading him in the center of the will of God day by day. Child of God, in this world, in this scene of time, you can know the will of God for your life by letting the Bible, letting the Word of God lead you, direct you day by day in your life. And also, child of God, by taking time to pray, by taking time to seek God, again, you can know God's will for your life. You can know God's appointment for your life as a believer. Turning your Bible over to Proverbs chapter number 3 and to verses 5 and 6, and look at these tremendous promises from God to his people, about his people knowing and doing the will of God and being in God's appointed place. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Notice this tremendous promise. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What a promise. We acknowledge God in prayer in all our ways. The promise of the Lord is this, that he will direct our paths, that he will guide us in his will, in the place of his appointment. Indeed, the hymn writer said, teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Thy gracious aid afford, teach me thy way. A lovely old hymn, great words of truth. But it was the burden of the hymn writer, it was the desire of the hymn writer to be taught in the ways of God and to be in the center of God's will in their life, to be in the place of God's appointment. Dear people of God, that's where we should want to be day by day as God's people, in the will of God. You think of Abraham's servant of old, he could say, I being in the way the Lord led me, to the house of my master's brethren, he was in the will of God. Let me say this, dear child of God, if we live for self, if we live for sin, if we live for the world, then we'll not be living out God's will for our lives. You can be sure of that. Where hast thou gleaned today? Child of God, where hast thou gleaned in this year that is almost gone? Have you been in the place of God's appointment? Have you been living in the will of God? That's how it was with Ruth. But notice secondly here this morning in answering this question, where hast thou gleaned today? You'll see also from our passage of Scripture that Ruth could answer that she was in the place of service. For look again at verse number 19, and look carefully at what it says. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, This man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Think of our text. It says, Where hast thou gleaned today? That word glean means to labor. Toil. It speaks of work. And in the context here, it speaks of gathering sheaves of corn, of wheat, and of barley. Notice again the emphasis in that verse 19 upon the word wrought. It says, Where hast thou wrought today? Again, further on down, Ruth says she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought. And then again, Ruth says, The man with whom I wrought today, I suppose. That's an old-fashioned word, wrought. But it speaks of work, it speaks of labor, it speaks of toil, it speaks of service. And you see from the passage here that Ruth was laboring, serving in the field of Boaz. What for? To provide food for herself and for her mother-in-law, Naomi. You see that from verse 18 it says, And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. She was serving. She was gathering sheaves of wheat and of barley and of corn in the field. And again, there's something else to note here about Ruth's service, that she continued steadfastly right until the end of barley harvest, right until the end of the wheat harvest, which was some considerable time. Go down to verse number 23 of the chapter, and you'll see that for yourself. It says, So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz. Notice the words, to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest. She continued steadfastly until the work was done, till the work was finished, till the work was complete, till there was nothing left for her to glean in the fields at that particular time. She was in the place of service. Oh, believer in Christ, whenever you think here of this question to Ruth, Where hast thou gleaned today? Whenever you think of that question and apply it to your own heart, your own mind, your own soul, your own life today, tell me, can you answer before God? Can you answer in the light of God's Word that you have been and you are as a believer in the place of service? That your life is one of serving the Lord, of serving Christ, the one who loved you, the one who gave himself for you, a ransom to save your soul upon the cross of Calvary. As you look back over 2016 that is almost gone, can you say this year my life has had a goal to serve the Lord, to serve my Savior, to serve my Redeemer, the one who loved me, the one who gave himself for me? Let me say this, dear Christian, the Lord has saved you by his grace for this very purpose. Whether your days be long or whether your days be short upon this earth, that you might serve the Lord in your day and in your generation. You turn in your Bible over to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look with me there at the verse number 58. And what a verse this is. To stir the heart of the Christian. To stir the heart of the church of Christ. To labor for Christ. To serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58. It says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That whole verse is about Christian service, every part of it. It says your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Dear Christian, the Lord says to you and I, be ye steadfast, be ye unmovable, Be ye always abounding in the work of the Lord. And let me say this, dear child of God, you can serve the Lord by prayer. That's an aspect of service that every Christian can be involved in and can enter into, whether we're young or old, whether we're young in the faith or saved for a long time. This is a work of prayer that every Christian, man, woman, boy or girl or young person can get involved in. Christian, you can be faithful in the private place of prayer, in your home, in your closet, wherever. And then you can be faithful in the public place of prayer, taking your seat at the prayer meetings before the services on the Lord's Day and praying for God's work, how important that is. Taking your seat on a Thursday night at the midweek prayer meeting and praying here for your church, your congregation, your community, the area where you live, and God's work at home and abroad, how vital that is. And I've often said it from this pulpit, every Christian should make it out to the prayer meeting at some time in their life. It should be our business week by week, month by month, year by year, to be at the place of prayer. Praying for others, praying for the sick, praying for God's work. The prayer meeting is a place for every Christian, every child of God to be. It's a place of laboring for God. You remember that man, Epaphras, that Paul the Apostle talks about in his letter to the Colossians. This is how Paul describes him. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You read your Bible, you'll see there's really not much said about Epaphras. But what is said about him is very, very commendable and very instructive and exemplary to us as God's people. And it was this. He was a man who labored in prayer. He was in the prayer meeting, calling upon God, seeking God for his fellow believers, that they may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And I encourage you, Christian, get out to the prayer meeting. Young person, be at the prayer meeting. Older person, be at the prayer meeting. Yes, there may be times when we have young children in the home, and when that is the case, mums and dads should take it week by week or week about. Again, there may be times when sickness maybe prevents us from coming to the house of God, but over and beyond those times, or maybe other certain occasions of works of necessity and mercy, we should make it our business, make it our goal, be at the place of prayer, of seeking God, of calling upon His name. Also, dear Christian, you can serve the Lord by witnessing, but by sharing the gospel with the poor and the needy souls, that they might be saved, that they might come to trust in the one true and living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be brought to the knowledge of God's salvation. Dear Christian, the Lord says to you in this meeting this morning, He says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. You are to speak to others, maybe in your workplace, in your family, in your community, to share the gospel, to point them to the Savior. Also, you can serve the Lord, dear Christian, by taking your stand as a believer against sin, against evil. By using your influence on a daily basis to promote that which is right and good in the sight of God. Remember what God says to His people in Psalm 94 in the verse number 16. He asks this question. He says, who will rise up for me against the evildoer? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? And child of God, the Lord wants you and I to stand against the evildoer in our day and generation. He wants you and I as believers and as a church to stand against the workers of iniquity, those who are opposed to God's Word, the laws of God's Word, and the truths of God's Word. Oh, as you look back over 2016, have you been serving the Lord, dear Christian, in the place of prayer? Have you been serving the Lord by witnessing for your Savior when opportunity comes your way? Have you been serving the Lord by using your influence in your daily place
to stand against evil and sin, and to stand up for what is good and right in the sight of God. Where hast thou gleaned in 2016? Where have you been serving? What have you been working at for Christ? This year that is almost gone. Yes, Ruth was in the place of God's appointment. She was in the place of service. Notice something else here from Ruth chapter 2. And answering this question, where hast thou gleaned today? Ruth could also answer and say that she was in the place of fellowship. Look at the latter part there of verse number 19. It says, and she showed her mother-in-law, that is Ruth, with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. She was telling her how she was working with Boaz that day. Look again at the end of verse number 20. Notice what Naomi says about Boaz. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen, someone who is near and dear. It speaks of fellowship there. Again, look at the beginning of verse 21. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men. In other words, she was working close to his manservants. And you see that to be the case with his maidservants in verse 23 as well. It says, and she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz. You put all those words and verses together, and you see a picture building here in your mind, in your heart. And the picture here is of fellowship. Ruth was in fellowship here with Boaz, her kinsman, redeemer. She was in fellowship with his servants, his maidservants, his manservants, as they gleaned corn and wheat and barley in the field. She was in good terms with them and those with whom she wrought. She was in the place of fellowship. Oh, believer, whenever you think here of the fellowship that Ruth enjoyed, let me ask you this morning, dear believer, is your life also one of fellowship with the Lord today? If we are to live in fellowship with the Lord as his people, then we must live by the light of God's word, the light of God's truth. That is fundamental to the believer, to God's people, to God's church, living in fellowship with God. Turn over with me, please, to 1 John chapter 1 and the verse number 7. You'll see that for yourself. As John here writes to God's people, he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, he's talking there about the light of God, the light of his word. He says, we shall have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's what fellowship with the Lord means, walking in the light of God's word. John tells us, if we walk in the light of God, in the light of his word, he says, we shall have fellowship one with another. We'll know rich and sweet fellowship with the Lord. Can I say also this fellowship with the Lord, it means us as believers depending upon the Lord. And that's really what Ruth was doing here. She was depending upon Boaz. It means us relying upon the Lord, relying upon his grace, relying upon his power, relying upon his help. That's how it was with Ruth and Boaz. She was relying upon him for everything at this time. And that's what fellowship between the Lord and his people means. It means us who are saved, relying, depending absolutely and entirely upon the Lord God, our Savior. That was the testimony of Paul the Apostle. He said of Christ, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He said, our sufficiency is of God. He depended upon the Lord. You know, over in the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, and the verse number 5, you have a wonderful picture of the church of Christ depending upon the Savior. And this is what it says: who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved, leaning upon the Lord? You read of John, the beloved disciple, one who enjoyed intimate fellowship with the Lord, his Savior. And how does the Lord depict John? What does the Bible tell us about John, even before the crucifixion of Christ? It tells us he was leaning upon the Savior's bosom. He was leaning upon his Savior. He was leaning upon the Lord, and he enjoyed rich fellowship with his Lord. The hymn writer knew something of that fellowship, for they said, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms, what a blessedness, what a peace is mine.
leaning on the everlasting arms. Fellowship means walking and living in the light of God's Word. It means depending upon the Lord. Also, as believers, can I say this? Our fellowship involves us living in accord, living in unity with God's people of like precious faith. That means us supporting one another in Christ, praying for one another in Christ, encouraging one another in Christ. It means us worshiping the Lord together. That means us avoiding offenses, giving offense and taking offense. It means us showing forbearance toward our fellow believers in the Lord. And this, dear people, was the testimony of the early New Testament church. And what do we read of that early church in the book of the Acts? It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They were in fellowship with the Lord. And that fellowship was seen in their agreement around the truth of God's Word, being together in the place of worship, and especially being together at the breaking of bread, at the Lord's table, when the Lord's death for them was being remembered. Ruth was in the place of fellowship. Christian, has that been your goal, your aim, your ambition in 2016? To be walking and living in fellowship with the Lord, your Savior, and serving the Lord together in fellowship with your fellow believers in Christ. That's how it was with Ruth. But notice one final thought here this morning in answering this question, where hast thou gleaned today? Ruth could also say that she was in the place of blessing. She was in the place of blessing. Look at the words of Naomi, her mother-in-law, to her in verse number 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who have not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Blessed be he of the Lord who have not left off thy kindness, his kindness to the living. And that included Ruth. It included Naomi. You see, being in the field of Boaz, Ruth was in the place of blessing. That's where she was. There she was to experience, as we see there in verse 20, the kindness of Boaz to her, the graciousness of Boaz, the provision of Boaz to her. There her needs were met, and there her needs were satisfied. Look at the end of verse number 18. It says of Ruth, and she brought forth, that is, the sheaves of corn, and gave to her that she had reserved, that's her mother-in-law Naomi, after she was sufficed. Notice that word, suffice. It means abundance. It means fullness. It means satisfaction, to be satiated to the full. She was in the place of blessing. And what does that teach you and I as God's people this morning, dear believer? Brethren and sisters in Christ, it shows us that the place of God's will, the place of serving God, and the place of fellowship with the Lord, it's a place of blessing. Child of God, never lose sight of that truth. You remember what Paul said to God's people in the book of Romans about God's will? He says that it was good, it was acceptable, it was perfect. God's will is always good, it's always blessed for the Christian. Remember what the psalmist says about those who serve the Lord and live for Him? He says, blessed is every one that feareth the Lord and that walketh in His ways. God blesses those who serve Him. There's blessing in the service of God. You read of the servants of Solomon, whenever Bathsheba went to visit him. And this is what is said of the servants of Solomon. It says in the Old Testament book of Chronicles, it says, happy or blessed are these thy servants. And it's a picture of the Christian serving the Lord. You think of the words of Frances Ridley Havergill about serving the Lord and that great hymn that she penned. She says, I would not leave his service. It is so sweet and blessed, and in the weariest moments he gives the truth. There's blessing in serving Christ, dear believer. Then think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 133. They're speaking of the Lord's people in fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with His saints. And it says this, and there the Lord commanded the blessing,
even life forevermore. What a promise. Well, believer, as you come toward the end of 2016, as we as a church come to the end of this year that is almost gone, I pray that this will be the testimony of every one of us today who are saved by the grace of God. Dear believer, that you'll be living in the will of God, that you will serve Christ day by day. There's no greater master to serve. That you'll be living in fellowship with the Lord, walking in the light of His Word, relying upon Him, and knowing blessed, sweet fellowship with Him and with His people in the things of God. Maybe I'm speaking to a believer today, and maybe throughout this year you've drifted away from these things. You've walked away from the will of God. You've turned your back upon serving the Lord. You're not in fellowship with the Lord, indeed with the saints as you once were. Dear friend, I urge you today, dear believer, to come back to the Lord. He loves you. He's married to you. There's no divorce with God. Come back to His will. Come back to serving Him. Come back to fellowshipping with Him. You may say, well, how do I come back? Turning your Bible over to the Old Testament prophecy of Joel, and you'll see there how you are to come back to the Lord. Joel chapter 2 and verses 12, 13, and verse number 25. And here the Lord is speaking. He says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repent of him of evil. And then verse 25, the Lord gives you this wonderful promise. When you turn to Him, He says, I will restore unto you the ears that the locusts have eaten. Maybe I'm speaking to one here and you're not saved. You've never came in faith and in repentance unto the Lord. Oh, as we come toward the end of 2016, I pray that even today you'll repent of your sins before God, that you'll confess your sins to Christ, that you'll rest upon His atoning blood for salvation, for the pardoning of your sin, the saving of your soul, and that you will call upon the Lord for mercy. For Jesus says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, think upon this little text today, dear people. Where hast thou gleaned today? Oh, that it might be the desire of each one of us to be gleaning in God's will, to be serving Christ, living in fellowship with Him until the Lord comes or calls us home to glory. Let us